Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's go to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline, and we bring in John Costco of Pro Football Focus. How you doing, Jay?
Hey, how's it going, Gary? How you doing?
Real good. One of the things that I've been looking at is there's this thing, and a great part about getting an opportunity to talk to you is we can debunk some of the myths and misnomers, and we can actually go to the numbers. One of the things that we looked at is we're trying to figure out as Cleveland Browns fans the difference between Baker Mayfield last year and Baker Mayfield this year. The offense just seemed to be crisper. He seemed to be getting the ball out quicker. He seemed to be doing a lot of things faster last year. The offense was way more concise. Starting with the offensive line, do your numbers bear that the offensive line is giving him more time to throw this year, or excuse me, last year compared to this year? And how much time are they giving him to throw compared to other offensive lines in the league so far in the first couple games?
So this year is about the same as last year in terms of how the offensive line is performing. You've still got Joel Bitonio and JC Treader up front. They're playing just as well as they did last year. Two of the best pass blocking left guards in the NFL. Obviously, you've got a new right guard. Eric Kush has actually played pretty well in terms of pass protection. He's not at that Kevin Zeitler level by any means, who was an elite, the top-graded right guard in the NFL last year in that category. But he's still playing pretty well. Where the offensive tackles, I know that they get a lot of the criticism and the media is all over that because, you know, everybody assumes that they're really bad. And they're not great, but they're average. And what's happening is that last year Baker was getting rid of the ball a lot quicker once Freddie Kitchens took over as the offensive coordinator. So this year he's holding on to the ball a lot longer. A lot of that is because he is, for whatever reason, not letting it go. So the offensive line, I don't think, is the issue at all at this point. They're not great in run blocking, but the fact of the matter is that last year, you saw, before Freddie Kitchens took over, it looked like they were really bad. But then once Freddie Kitchens took over, it looked like they had massively improved. And that was basically because the Baker was getting rid of the ball quicker. This year, he's back down to that first half of the season level where he's throwing it in about 2.85 seconds. Last year, under Freddie, he was at like 2.26. So that split-second difference makes a difference. It really does. It means things that when in the progression of the route, he's hitting that back foot, he's letting it go. Last year, this year, he's hitting that back foot. He sees it. I don't know if he sees it or not, but he's just not at least letting it go. There are receivers that are open in the you know, progression and the normal scheming of the route, and then he will bail from clean pockets. And I don't know if that's because he's just not quite trusting the new pieces and how it's kind of been shuffled around. Or if it's a new system, because it's definitely, it's a lot different of a system. Last year, there was a lot more 12 personnel, which is one running back, two tight ends. This year is a lot more 11 personnel. So there's a lot of changes there. So I don't know if it's him not trusting the system. But the offensive line, I don't think at all is an issue.
Talking to John Costco on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. And of course, he's from Pro Football Focus. He joins us every Sunday breaking down the Cleveland Browns and what they're going to do. In this week, they have one of the games that I'm so interested in watching is this Rams game, because the Rams do something that I think is very, very smart. Everything looks alike. They run plays, and then they run these plays where they'll run a orbit motion or a jet sweep motion or something, and then they'll run like 5-6 plays off of it. They can actually give it to the running back on a zone play, or they'll give it to the jet sweep guy, but then they'll run play action off of it, or they'll run play action and then run a screen off of it, or they'll hit the tight end. They do these things and everything looks alike. They're just really innovative with McVay. What is some of the challenges that the Rams offense gives other teams, and what makes the Rams so successful as far as their offensive scheme?
So there's numerous factors where why the Rams are so good at what they do. Obviously, a lot of it's scheme and what Sean McVay is able to do. Part of it is that they get the play call in quickly and immediately. And so Jared Goff is able to get to the line of scrimmage. They set their formation. And then McVay, who does a lot of the audibling for Jared Goff pre-snap, because he can call in to Jared Goff before up until 15 seconds left on the play clock. So you'll see it several times where they're up there with 20 seconds still left. And McVay then calls into Jared, "Hey, we're going to call an audible here." And they change their play based on what the defense is showing them, because they have to show their hands. And it's not that they do that every single time. So they'll sometimes come to the line of scrimmage and immediately snap it. So teams aren't able to like show a real good fake look, you know, give them a disguise. And then once it's been audible, they change it. They get through that really quickly. So teams can't do that. And then on top of that, they do a lot of shifting motion. They do a lot of bunch formations. And when you have those, and you also are able to get the snap off really quickly, then you're able to pretty much put the defense into a vanilla look, and you know what you're going to get. So when you see it pre-snap and post-snap, you know, Jared Goff turns around, shows a play action. They have one of the highest play action offenses in the NFL. He turns around, he knows exactly what he's looking at. The best teams are able to confuse that, like New England in a Super Bowl last year, the Bears last year at the end of the year. The Philadelphia Eagles also did that to them as well. So, you know, the best teams can disguise their stuff even after they've called audibles, and they can audible themselves if they have that communication. But what the thing is that what the Rams do is that they put a lot of different things, they look a lot of the same, and then they get your eyes moving with those jet sweep motions and stuff like that, where they want you to be looking one way, just like a magician. And you're not looking at the real hand there. So part of it's the whole combination of why they're so good.
When you look at it, and you look at the Browns and what they're doing, one of the things that we talked about a little bit last week was the evolution of Myles Garrett, and he came out against the Jets and he pretty much had his way. He was in the backfield the entire game. He had pressures, he had sacks, and he had some penalties as well. But what have you seen from Myles Garrett as far as where you guys have him ranked in, and what has he done this season to kind of step his game up, so to speak?
You know, so it's interesting that we also grade penalties, and penalties are big negative plays when a player commits them, and he's obviously committed a lot of penalties so far this year. He's up to 5. And so when you get like in our grades, he's actually not grading out all that well in terms of an overall grade. But from a pass rushing grade, he's at a 77.5, but his overall grade is a 57.4, because whenever you commit a penalty, it's a negative for us. Because obviously it's either a first down for the offense. Obviously you see that with the roughing the passer penalties he had in this past game, jumping off sides. It gives basically the offense a free play when you do stuff like that. So, he has obviously the lead in sacks. He has a couple of hits, several hurries as well. Thing is, too, is what's interesting is you saw in that his first sack against the Jets, it was an unblocked pressure. Like he basically just walked into the sack. He's had a couple of those this year. So his grade isn't as astronomical as what you'd expect from the sheer numbers that production that he's had. But in terms of, just his physicality and his ability to get after the quarterback, he's still obviously one of the best players in the league at doing that. And his grade, right now it's not great for us. There's no concern in my mind that it's going to go up and up, because he's able to defeat offensive tackles with regularity. But the thing is that teams do focus on him quite a bit. You saw on the one play against the Jets where he he was got the hit on Trevor Siemian and knocked him out of the game because of a late hit and breaking his ankle or whatever happened to Trevor Siemian. He was chipped. He was triple teamed on that play before he was able to get outside of the pocket. So if teams are triple teaming him, that's only going to spell good for the rest of the team, and he might not have as good of a season as in terms of grade wise as we expect because of all that attention that's going to him. But it's only going to open up free rushers for everybody else.
Talking to John Costco, Pro Football Focus on the barbershop here, and of course he's on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. I brought up something earlier today, and this was concerning what I'm calling Park Place on the trade board of Monopoly in the game of NFL. What ifs and would have, could have, should have, and should we. Right now, you look at Jalen Ramsey is a guy who is supposedly available. They're saying that the Cleveland Browns have 1 of 5 teams that are vying for his services. Jalen Ramsey to me is probably, probably the best cornerback or one of the top three best cornerbacks with the eye test. That doesn't do much for most people. They just need some stats. If the Browns have an opportunity to get Jalen Ramsey, I got a two-part question. A, is he worth 2 first-round draft picks? And B, if he does, if they do are able to pull off a trade and you do have Greedy Williams, Jalen Ramsey, and Denzel Ward, given the grades where you have those guys, and where would that put their secondary if they're able to pull that trade off?
Is he worth 2 first-round picks? Maybe. I know if first-round picks are – especially if typically when you're giving up 2 first-round picks, you're wanting to give that up for a quarterback. I know that the Houston Texans obviously just did that with getting Laremy Tunsil, who's basically an average left tackle. Jalen Ramsey is way better as a cornerback than Laremy Tunsil is as a left tackle. So is he worth that? He probably would go for that, and because he's very, very good. He's over the past 3 years combined, so since he came into the NFL, and he's been one of the top 5 cornerback in terms of grading overall and coverage grade. So he is fantastic. There's no qualms about it. If the Browns went and got him, they would, if they could somehow make it work, that would be a fantastic. Any team that needs a cornerback should be looking to trade for him because he's that good. Obviously you want to be able to figure out if the locker room can handle, he's got a big personality and everything like that. But I think you've seen it where, like, the best team in the league, the Patriots, they'll take on players with, maybe issues, that perceived issues that other teams had, and they'll clean them up. Obviously you saw that with Antonio Brown. They brought him in, but he then wrecked it himself by continuing on that spiral, and they don't want to deal with that. And so even if that's a kind of a rare case in terms of for the Patriots even, but you saw it with Randy Moss, who had that perceived issues back then, and they took him on, and obviously he had a monster season. So the Browns, if they can get him in, they would have easily a top 3 coverage unit. You look at the Rams, who have one of the best right now, which is you'll see on Sunday night, and also the Patriots. They have easily, in my opinion, and also in PFF grades, have the best secondary in the NFL. So if they can acquire that, I mean, that would be huge, because you pair Jalen Ramsey, Denzel Ward, and Greedy Williams together, there's really going to be a lot of difficulties for opposing offenses to find open receivers.
I think you do anything that you can. I mean, the Browns, in my opinion, are going to be picking in the mid to late rounds. When you look at it, and the Browns are a team that's going to not be terrible anytime soon. Those days are done. If you can get Jalen Ramsey and you can bring him in and pair them with those two guys, and if you're looking at who you need to play going forward as far as Patrick Mahomes or Tom Brady in that offense with Edelman and Gordon, I mean, bringing in a Jalen Ramsey is is something that could help you get over the hump and solidify you as having a chance. Because at this point, with those two offenses, I think the Patriots and the Chiefs are head and shoulders above any other team as far as in the NFL goes right now. If we're talking two games in, I think Jalen Ramsey helps you in that conversation.
Yeah, absolutely, and especially if you consider the fact that, like, let's say it's a first and maybe a third. I mean, he's obviously worth that, because if I don't think you're going to go into the draft, say it's the Browns, and let's say they pick in the 20s, somewhere in the 20s, you're not finding a Jalen Ramsey in the 20s in pretty much any draft. You very well could. I mean, Aaron Rodgers went 20, in the 20s, and I think 24, I can't remember. But, obviously you find gems that happen that fall into the 20s, but really in most situations, you're not finding a Jalen Ramsey go to that, fall to that. And you are right. You have to be able to go up against the Patriots and the Chiefs and those types of offenses, and especially like the Rams, another offense, and Saints, if they, once Drew Brees would come back, those types of offenses, you need all the secondary players that you can get that can be interchanged. You can move them inside, outside, play them wherever, and they're going to be successful. You need as many of those types of guys as you can, because the way those offenses run, it's very difficult to stop them regardless. So the more talent you have, the better.
All right, man. I appreciate you, John. We'll catch up with you same time, same place next week, man.
Always a pleasure, Garrett.
All right, thank you, man. John Costco on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Let's go right to a 2020 update.